afternoon. Today is Monday, May the 19th, 142nd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy who's really proud to be here, the bank dude, John Dalby.
I am so happy to be I'm sorry.
I tried to beat you to the punch that I was going to be happy for you being happy for being here.
It's such a burden to be here with you, Brian.
There we go. We finally get to that kernel of truth. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about the Arcata facility as now some of the exterior is starting to show change. And we'll talk about some of the changes you can anticipate. And also, how do you lay out a bank? What makes sense? What doesn't? Because certainly some of the models of past years may not necessarily be the best model to use currently. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with John Dalby, who does have a speaking role here eventually. But our quote this afternoon, which one did you like?
Well, the one that hasn't been read there.
Ah, Carlos Fuentes?
Yes, Carlos.
I don't think he's related to Tito.
No, and I was wondering if, you know, Fuentes, isn't that a cigar brand or something? Maybe not.
I don't do cigar. Do you do cigar?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Oh, no.
So anyway, we read the quote.
I figure if I get flame...
You're boring me already.
Flame close to my face, things could ignite. I don't want that to happen. Yeah. Not hair on the head, mind
because
you.
Because you have such an explosive personality, is that what it is?
Yeah, something along with that and the hot air.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Quote, writing is a struggle against silence. So is this show.
I thought it was very appropriate.
Yeah. I thought I'd beat both of you guys to the punch on that one. Probably end up having crickets going on right now. So, John, when we look at a traditional bank, okay, and we think of banks over the last 100 years, big pillar columns for strength and stability, right? Big arching architecture, again, showing richness and success. Then we had the drive-through banks hit in the 60s, and they kind of looked like portable trailers on circular or perimeter foundations. Obviously, banks can come in all shapes and sizes. I guess you could even say an ATM was a bank in some kind of a weird sense. Not that I've ever done one and have no inclination to do so. But when you're designing a bank, are there prerequisites for having a bank?
That's a really fascinating question. And what I'd like to do is go back in time and talk about how they used to be laid out and how some of those traditions continue on while others are starting to fade away.
So could we use the Clark Museum as the...
Let's
reference?
Go even back even a little further.
Oh, a wagon.
Yeah, way back then. So, interestingly enough, the area, generally when you go into a bank, there's the teller line where you have, and that's the operations area. And then you have an area with new accounts, and maybe a loan officer and a manager. And even though it's generally just on a carpet or a floor, that's referred to as the platform. And there's a reason for that. They used to design banks. On one side, you would have the teller cages, which were completely enclosed.
The wrought iron.
And the whole thing, right. And then, down a hall, down an aisleway. On the other side, there was a raised floor and almost like a white picket fence and with a gate.
Well, a small little half gate.
Yeah,
chubbies.
Exactly. And so you'd open the gate and step up onto a platform, and up there would be your manager and loan officers or whoever was there.
Kind of the management team.
Exactly. And so literally it was a platform. It was like a stage. And of course, that created barriers and so forth that modern banks don't want to have, yet we still traditionally refer to that area as the platform.
See, when you said platform, I was thinking more along the line of gallows.
Yeah.
And trap doors. So that's a positive thing.
There you go. Yeah. So we've seen those barriers break down. Also, we've seen the teller cages go away over time.
How come?
Well, there's one is security is less of an issue. You know, you used to have armed guards in banks, and now we know that that's actually makes things more dangerous to have somebody armed in the bank.
Because of potential exchange interaction between.
You know, if somebody walks in with a gun, we're going to give them what they want. We're going to get their picture, and they're probably going to get arrested. But later, we just want them out of the building. And so, you know, to have somebody pull a gun and there be gunfire inside the bank, you know, puts everybody at risk, our customers, our employees, you know, so.
Somebody just shoots it up into the air to get people's attention.
Right.
Put senior staff in peril, too.
Well, that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that said, you know, those types of things have changed. Also, then a little later in history, under the tutelage of A.P. Giannini, the founder of Bank of Italy, which later became Bank of America, he added another separate section that was the women's section. Because prior to that, women weren't allowed to bank. But he thought it would be a great idea, so they actually had a segregated area for women to bank in. That has nothing to do with modern architecture for banks now.
That one's been kind of phased out over the years.
That's been phased out completely. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take Two on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Bank Dude. John, as you're looking at the construction, I mean, going back to, I guess, turn of the last century.
Yeah.
When you were describing, and I'm going through, you know, some of the old spaghetti westerns and that kind of stuff, I always thought that the wrought iron was kind of a cool touch.
You know,
there was some kind of a formality associated with it, and certainly you don't want to have people running around in shorts and sandals playing with your money. there was a nostalgic twist to it. That's really the teller cages really just don't exist anymore, except in a very historical setting.
Yeah, there's two really good examples of teller cages here in Humboldt County. One is the old Bank of America building in Ferndale. It's now a North Valley Bank branch, and I haven't been in there for years, but that, as far as I know, they still have the original teller cages in there. The other one is in the old Bank of Lolita building in Lolita. The Chamber of Commerce occupies that building currently, but the cages in there are just absolutely the old oak. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Do you ever have thoughts? Geez, wouldn't this have been cool if?
Oh, I don't know how many times I've thought, it's so cool, I'd like to open a branch there. And
yeah.
Just because it's so darn cool.
Yeah. Put a couple officers in there and, you know, one teller kind of thing. But yeah, I think there's something, it's kind of like the pillars. Yeah, I see it where you guys Eureka branches across the street, you know, the old B of A. It's like, yeah, that is a bank. No question about it. It's a, well, okay, I guess there is question because it's not, but
it's not a bank,
that building is a bank, period. It's not cool. It's not trendy. It's familiar. It's historical. It's a bank.
And the old Clark Museum is a great example of an older.
Now, I've never, bank. I didn't see that one functioning.
No, I never did. But when you walk in, you still see a lot of the architecture from the original bank.
You feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody design a new branch or a new bank structure along those lines to kind of capture that?
There's been a few very traditional feeling branches, but not a lot, not with all the marble. And you know,
it just doesn't work well, or is it too expensive?
It's very expensive. It's cold.
Well, I would have worked in okay the month when it was 80.
Yeah.
I would have appreciated that.
Well, I meant cold and feeling. You know, but.
So it's not seen as staid or comforting. It's seen as sterile and cold.
What you're seeing is architecture is becoming more customer centric rather than banker centric.
I go to a bank for a soft, warm sofa?
Well,
and a rug?
But we want you to feel comfortable when you come in. So we're looking at what makes, you know, is best for the client rather than what's best for the banker.
And there's a clear distinction between the two?
Yes.
Okay, what are some of the things that most customers have identified as or been associated with customer?
Well, first of all, I mean, let's go way back to the old platforms. There was a specific barrier. There was a fence. Not only were they elevated above you, which gave them a sense of superiority, the banker, but they also had a barrier in which you had to be invited into this high space by us opening the gate and allowing you in, okay? Now we want to make you feel comfortable and reduce the barriers. You were talking about the cages. Well, one of the reasons the cages went away is because, you know, there was a separation there between you, and so it's less friendly, if you want to call it that.
So in that kind of a scenario, I'm looking at it and thinking, okay, but most people have office space. Most people have areas that are separated from others. You know, taking it to the extreme the other way, I don't want to be sitting down talking about a loan and having Jim Bob show up to do a deposit or to cash a check and come over, slap me on the back and say, hey, how you doing?
Yes, you've got a fine line between accessibility and privacy. And so we try and provide, in the way we design branches, we try and provide privacy when you're talking about confidential information, and yet the accessibility so you don't feel uncomfortable trying to get to somebody.
See, it's interesting because when you're referring to the platform, I'm thinking, okay, clear distinction, clear delineation. I know where to go to get certain things accomplished and places where I'm not going to get that, rather than coming into a lobby setting and you really don't know, do I turn left, do I turn right, do I talk to this desk, that desk, what desk do I talk, and you have confusion. So how do you take care of letting folks know where to go for basic information? Is that just signage and simple things like that?
Well, signage plus, I'm a believer in customer service. So I think that when somebody walks in, we need to make eye contact with them. We need to ask them what they, what we can do to help them. And then once they tell you what they're looking for, that we deliver you to that place rather than just pointing down and say, well, there's other end of the building.
Kind of like a concierge in a hotel?
Exactly.
But now, I've never seen one of those in a bank, though.
Yeah, but everybody should be that. Now, some banks have a receptionist-type universal officers, and you go to a counter to get help.
So we'll talk about that when we get back from the news. KINS, News and Information Times 3.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. All right, you better not say anything really important because my pen just died. John, when you're looking at trying to get people to grasp where to go for what, before the break we talked a little bit about almost a concierge, somebody, a greeter, floor manager might be another term. Everybody's got, each industry has got their different terminology for it. You don't tend to see that too much in banking, and yet you do want to have people feel comfortable. And if it's somebody from out of the area, they're not going to have any momentum other than what they see as they come through the door. So how do you balance the workload with the staff in addition to being able to address somebody who may not be as familiar with your layout as they come through that door?
Okay. Well, worst case scenario, we have some signage. So if you're looking for new accounts, there's a sign that says new accounts and mortgage says mortgage and so forth. But for the most part, what we try and do is build a culture that when somebody walks in, that we make contact with them and try and direct them, ask them the question and make the inquiry, and then assist them in getting to the right place. As contrasted to, some banks that, it depends on the size of your branch. If you have a really big branch, you can have a receptionist that is guiding people and answering phones and doing those things. All depends on the luxuries that you have.
Well, sure. If your foot traffic is necessitating it, yeah. So when you look at some of the historical framework then of the old big bank versus the more contemporary downsized branch and everything in between, how do you determine what you want, what your confines are, what's practical, what's impractical, and what accomplishes at the end of the day the goals that you put out?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the size of branches has gone down, and that is a function of technology. Prior to the advent of the computer, in fact, if you look at our Arcata branch, which is going into an old Wells Fargo branch, and I have the original drawing, so I know exactly how Wells Fargo configured the
when
bank.
When was it built?
It was built in the 60s. It had workspaces for, about a half a dozen clerks. And the reason being is that everything had to be hand-entered. There were no computers. And so there was a lot of clerical work that was done behind the scenes. And in fact, when I first started my career in 1900, at Bank of America on the corner of 4th and F, we had almost 70 employees in that branch.
Yeah, I remember. It used to be a happening place.
Yes, it was very, very busy, and but everything was done manually. We stuffed our own statements. We made our own loan decisions. We had our own. We drew our own docs, and we had typists and all kinds of stuff. There was all kinds of positions there, most of which have been replaced by computers, unfortunately. So physically, the size of branches has gone down because you don't need the space for all the clerks.
But now let's say you had that building and you had the big ceiling, and you had the second floor, and you had the basement, and you had all the historic. Somehow it would seem a shame not to utilize it. Yeah, even if there's only one office upstairs that was being used and only two of the tellers basically or routinely were being used, to be able to maintain that sense.
Well, look what happened to my original branch that I started working in, Bank of America on 4th and F Street. Prior to us opening, which was over 10 years ago, they sliced that thing in half and moved the branch to the back half. And then they got a parking lot, which we didn't have when I was there. But ever since they did that, it just kind of, the branch is now gone.
And so was the essence of it.
Correct. So maintaining the original architecture, I think that's an individual decision for every bank and every branch based on what's there. I mean, you go to downtown
Wells Fargo number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they downsize that thing, you know, you're doing, what's going on here?
But technology has allowed banks' branches to be smaller than they used to be because you don't have to have all the functions in one.
But you need wider walls, don't you? To run all those wires.
Yeah. Yes.
And the tubes and everything else.
The conduit is an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we found out in this project.
So recognizing what is desirable versus what is practical. Okay. So the physicalness will be smaller. And yet you got things that are go the other way that take more space, like parking lots. I don't know if you do much grocery shopping at the same place as I do. I don't think I've ever been in a vehicle that fits their slots. And yet there's that ratio that you have to do for the codes and all that. And it's like, wait. Okay. Yeah, so we have 10 spots that you and I can't park in. Or we could have 7 that we fit in comfortably, as does everybody else. Allowances for things like that. Does that kind of counter some of the space savings?
Well, I'm a firm believer that the customer's experience begins as they're looking for a place to park. So I want to have adequate parking close to the door available to the customer when they come in. So that's number one. Two is, you know, if codes say you have to have 20 spaces and your parking lot really only fits 17, yeah, you got to have these compact spaces and so forth. So that's
motorcycle parking doesn't count. Cut them in half and get twice as many.
Unfortunately, no. But
okay.
Those are the challenges that you have based on codes and so forth.
So looking at an existing shell,
and here's an irony: when we went to redesign the Wells Fargo branch in Arcata for our branch, it had too much parking. So Arcata not only has a minimum parking requirement, but a maximum. So we had to actually reduce.
Whoa.
We had to reduce the number of spaces.
They have a maximum number of slots?
Yes, they do. Uh-huh.
So could you just like put in 2 or 3 slots for an RV or a Brinks truck or something that's really oversized?
Well, it actually worked that well for us because what we did is we widened the spaces and steepened the angle, which gave more room for circulation around the building. So it turned out to be a positive for us, but
maximum number. I've never even thought that would happen.
Yeah, I was surprised too. But
well, maybe that was further with Stagecoach to pull up.
No, this has to do with the city of Arcata.
Well, I know Wells Fargo. And yeah. Okay. KINS News and Information Times 3:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Bank Dude. John, as you're looking at architecture, I'm thinking pillars, wrought iron, manly man things. And yet you also want to have the building fit into the neighborhood and be something that is not embraced necessarily, but looks like it fits. You got an old Safeway across the street. Okay, well, you don't want to design it to keep it in the 50s. You want to do something a little bit different. It's had different uses. There's, in this one particular location, you got Spanish motif across the street. You've got a Victorian on the other side of the block. You got a bunch of things you're trying to complement, as well as whatever the governmental jurisdiction requirements will be. How do you do that one and still have it bank?
Yeah. Well, you know, like our branch in Eureka, I have in my office, I actually have historic pictures going clear back to when it was the Congregational Church building in that location.
And talk about a change.
Right. So we use those historic pictures and design the bank around that. So it's very very close in look and feel to the building that was there prior to the Dailies having built that structure.
So well, we and the theater next door,
right?
They're kind of on the same facing, yeah.
In this particular case, in Arcata, we're using the original 1960s architecture and trying to restore the look back to what it originally was. Including some windows have been removed, so putting the windows back.
Was it an attractive building?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of a craftsman type architecture.
Okay, so it wasn't cinder block and those things that have got the little stars in the middle of them and some of those
none of that.
Trendy things of the 60s. Yeah.
And, of course, that particular one is interesting in that because of our partnership with the Natural History Museum, we're keeping the giant pterodactyl, that's actually the Quasicautilus, hanging from the ceiling, and the great white shark and some other displays, so will be kind of an annex to the Natural History Museum.
So is that going to influence the colors and the motif, if it's not the architectural design?
Certainly if you have a giant pterodactyl hanging from the ceiling, it changes how you design the interior of the branch.
Probably some of your signage might be a little different, too.
Yeah.
Look up. So when you're working with this, how much does staff say, this kind of feels the way we want it, versus the trained hired gun, the architect, saying this is the way it should be?
We keep all of our color schemes basically the same. It was designed by an interior designer to make it warm and friendly, so we wanted, so we keep that consistent. As far as where the walls are and the teller line and so forth, we talk with our staff what works, what doesn't work, the people that are actually doing the work and find out, what it is that would be better so that each branch gets a little better as far as utility goes. And
you mean you learn?
We try and learn.
Okay. Well, that's a good thought. When's it supposed to open? Eight weeks?
We're looking at middle of July.
That's a pretty good guess.
It's coming
huh?
right along, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Are you going to put your footprint or your handprint or your face print in the driveway?
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay. I'd heard rumors in the street about the face plant thing that.
Yeah, there's some
give you a basketball and say dribble and you and
there's a few people who'd like to put some concrete around my ankles.
Yeah,
well, take me to the nearest bay.
I was thinking the nearest court.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've seen that happen. That would be basketball, not legal. Thanks for coming by.
Good to see you, Brian.
We've been talking shop with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.